I'm Adam Epstein. Breaking news here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Ian Rappaport reporting the Commanders are waiving defensive lineman Fedarian Mathis, putting the former second-rounder on waivers. Rappaport says a potential ad for a playoff team looking for depth up front. Mathis could get claimed. The Commanders waive former second-round draft pick Fedarian Mathis. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. That's breaking news here on The Fan. You're listening to AWOD Radio, DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on Team 980 and 910 The Fan in Richmond, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. So you just heard that breaking news. The Commanders are waiving defensive lineman Fedarian Mathis. Two ways to look at this, I think. Number one, another Ron Rivera draft pick out the door. Just another Ron Rivera masterclass, a guy that does not contribute here in Washington. But the positive of this tells me Jonathan Allen is not just back, but I don't think he's going to be on a snap limit. I mean, I just don't think you can waive Fedarian Mathis and say, oh, Jonathan Allen's back for maybe 10 or 20 snaps here. No, he's ready to go. Well, and I believe that he was ready to go maybe even in that Philadelphia game. He's been waiting. He was so excited when they told him it wasn't a fully torn pectoral muscle, and he's been working to get back, keeping himself in good shape, and I think he's going to come out swinging. I know that I was reading Riggo's Rag earlier today with a couple bold predictions, as they said, for this game, and one of them was, Max, that Jonathan Allen would have two tackles for loss. I just think he's going to be an impactful player in this game here, and I think anybody that thought that Jonathan Allen wasn't playing to the level that he had set for himself as a standard, you're probably right. But also, I think you got to look at the fact that he was taking more double teams than anybody, and they did not have good depth. And so he and Daron Payne simply were forced to just play too many snaps. And that's why I think the defensive line duo, the D-tackle duo, Payne and Allen took a step back, because they were asked to do too much. Fedarian Mathis wasn't a good enough backup. Neither was John Ridgeway. That's why he was traded. Johnny Newton has stepped up, and now you got Newton, Payne, and Allen, and the three could actually rotate and stay fresh and be fresh for a playoff push. This is huge, getting Jonathan Allen back. And so breaking news is that they waived defensive lineman Fedarian Mathis. I think that's good news for Jonathan Allen fans like myself. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Moose. We got Moose in Falls Church. You're on The Fan with AWOD.
Hey, guy, how you doing this morning? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm going to comment at the end real quick about that, getting rid of Mathis. But if I may, yeah, it's a simple formula, you know, to beat this Falcons team. They don't have a pure pass rusher. Set up the play action. Run the ball. I don't expect Robinson to drop the rock this game. It was very un-Robinson-like last week. All the turnovers were, let's be honest, but let's try to get other players involved, especially if Diami's out. And that gentleman gave me an idea there. KJ, what is his name? Dobbins, the guy that we picked up, that receiver. Who knows? We might throw him in the mix of things.
KJ Osborne.
Osborne, thank you. KJ Osborne, you know, maybe get McCaffrey involved more. Sinnott, let's get him involved more. Let's throw some things out there that we haven't seen. Who knows? And I think Mathis departing is great, because you called it, man. Good call. Now that Allen's going to be back in the lineup and fresh and strong and hungry, I think it's going to be a great rotation with him, Payne, and Newton's been playing great football, man. I mean, you can't say enough about this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. Moose, so, I want to go back to what you said about Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
He doesn't really turn the ball over. You know, that was just so surprising. So I think you're onto some. He definitely should be able to bounce back. If there's anybody that could have a bounce back game, I think B-Rob would be number one.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
And let's just, again, let's hope it's not going to be raining too heavy tomorrow night. It's supposed to be hopefully stopped by then. But even if it does, don't turn the ball over. Set up the play action. And another good point you brought up, If we can just have Daniels not throw the ball as much, because when he attempts that many throws, man, That's not a good recipe. You know, we're going throw heavy and run less. Got to be opposite. We got to be run the ball more.
Yeah. Good call, Moose. I appreciate you chiming in, and you're so right. Thanks. We don't lose this game unless we lose the turnover battle. We cannot give Atlanta short field position. That's absolutely number one. Let's go to line three, Matthew in Maryland. Matthew, you're on the Fan.
Okay. Like I said, in order for us to win the game, we don't have to control the clock. We don't have to keep Atlanta's offense off the field.
Yeah.
Okay. Brian Robinson, last week, he fumbled the ball twice. He can't do that. He cannot do that tomorrow. We need every opportunity to score, to put points on the board, no matter if it's 3-7, we need to do it.
Yeah.
So,
and part of controlling the clock, Matthew, is establishing the run on first down and getting 4 or 5 yards and staying out of third and long situations.
Right, that is correct, because last week, when we went to go 4th and 1, Philly stuffed us.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to do our best to, convert our third downs or fourth downs and just keep pushing the ball down the field.
Yeah. You have confidence that we're going to win this game?
I sure do.
Yeah.
I sure do. Even though last week it looked like rough, but, once Jalen got concussion and Kenny Pickett came in, we had all the opportunity in the world to win this game, and we did. It took everything out of us, but we still won it. So I have very big confidence that we got to win this game tomorrow just to make the playoff and keep pace and possibly take the division if we can. But that's going to be hard, too. So
good call, man.
Both sides, I appreciate you chiming in, man.
Let's keep it going here. We're going to take a quick call here. We got to take a commercial break, but we can squeeze in another call here. I did want to just say real quick, though, controlling the clock is so important, and converting on third downs in this game. If we're going to beat the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday, we have got to convert our third downs here. And I think that when Jane Daniels gets into an option of it's 3rd and 5, 3rd and 4, he knows he can run and pick it up. And it's as simple as that. If we have a situation where you can run the football, right? I mean, this team has been able to run the football on 3rd and short situations for most of this season. Until that Eagles game. The Eagles, first time we played them, they stuffed us too. That's a darn good defensive line. Atlanta's not. So we have got to be able to trust that we can run the ball on 3rd and 2 and pick up the first down. Don't have to throw it every single time. Let's go to Trey in Landover. Trey in Landover, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Yo, what's good, man? Look, 3 keys for me, man. Like you said, run the ball, decrease, limit the mistakes, little to no mistakes. And since we know we got Pennis coming up in here, hasn't played much, dial up some pressure on him.
Yeah.
Make him make some mistakes. Especially, it's supposed to be running a little bit. Make them uncomfortable and just take control of the game. Come out swinging and don't stop. Don't let up. Washington has not been known to quit all season. We've been in tight games. Just like last week, I happened to be there and see it live, us scoring that last drive. Like, these guys coming up in here with a pretty much inexperienced quarterback, we got to get pressure on them.
Yeah.
Make them uncomfortable.
Trey, did you feel like last week, like I did, as bad as that first quarter was, going into the breakdown 21-14, I liked our chances.
I ain't gonna lie. My feelings about the game against the Eagles, man, like I was kind of in between. I'm like, damn, are we gonna do it or are we not? But when Hurst went down, I'm like, all right, we have our chances. Like I knew they weren't gonna let up when Daniels threw that TD to Terry. I said, okay, we cutting this lead here. And then when Elliott missed that field goal, I'm like, yeah, they got a chance.
Yeah.
And especially when Devontae Smith dropped that wide open, pass that could have sealed the game. I'm like,
thank goodness, right?
Yep,
I mean, if Devontae Smith catches that, if Malik Nabers catches one on fourth down, we're not a playoff team, right? So we've had our own drop balls. Hey. They've had them too.
Exactly. So here's the thing. I look at it like this. That's not our problem. They got to do their job just like we do. We got to do our job, right?
Yeah.
So the only thing that counts is wins and losses, right?
Yeah.
So, hey. Yeah, man, that's all I wanted to say. Appreciate y'all taking my call.
I appreciate you chiming in. We got to do our job. Offensive line's got to protect Jaden Daniels. If he's getting sacked left and right against an Atlanta team that doesn't have a good pass rush, that's not a recipe for success. What's your recipe for success? How does Washington get one more win to lock in a postseason berth in year one of Adam Peters working his magic with free agency in the draft? Year one of Dan Quinn changing the culture in the locker room, anybody, anywhere, anytime, and year one of Jaden Daniels. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. Got you covered on both ends of the dial, 106.7 FM, 910 AM in Richmond, 980 in Washington, D.C., and all is available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Use it today, download it for free. It gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where we left off. And where we left off last segment was talking about what the Falcons have in weapons and what the Commanders can do offensively. Because I do feel like if this game is a shootout, Max, Washington wins like 34-27. If this game is like a low-scoring defensive battle, that could be Atlanta's game plan to get this win. I think they want this game to be like 17-14. They want it to be like 21-17. They want it to be a one-score game in the fourth quarter where they can run the football down our throat, get first downs, and go win the game. I think Washington, you want to have an early lead in this game. You don't want to give Atlanta any confidence, right? I mean, look at recently here. We gave the Cowboys confidence, and they took that game from us. We gave the Saints confidence, and Spencer Rattler nearly took the game from us. We did not give the Titans confidence, and we blew them out. That's what you have to do against the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday Night Football. Make that game be over before 9:30 p.m. Send them packing. All of a sudden, you're up 21-0, right? We got to score 7 when we get to the red zone. We've got to make the most of our defense forcing turnovers and giving us short field. And offensively, it's all about controlling the line of scrimmage. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to David in Frederick. What's up, David? You're on the Fan.
Hi, thanks. First, I think I'm cautiously optimistic about this game. I think we have the better team. We're having the better season. But I'm more worried. I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to have multiple turnovers again. I don't think B-Rob is going to fumble twice again. I trust them to clean it up. I'm more worried, I think, than a lot of people about the Falcons' weapons. I think, especially with Penix coming in, I think they'll be playing with a little new life, a little friskier. And I think Mooney and Bijan, they're really dynamic. They're fast. Getting them in space will probably be the plan with quick throws. And I'm worried about them shredding us. And I also think if they, you know, in a deep ball situation or one-on-one situation, if I were them, I would be throwing it up to Drake London versus any of the guys we have in the secondary also. So I trust the offense to bounce back. We got away with the win, but with all those turnovers, bounce back from that. Yeah. But I'm more worried about the defense tightening it up than the offense.
I see what you're saying there. And here's what I would push back on is that Atlanta only had 329 yards against the New York Giants in a dominant victory. They needed two defensive scores. Otherwise, they were sitting at just 20 points on the game. And so they certainly have weapons. Well, Michael Penix only threw for 200 yards, and he had an interception in that game as well. So I'm certainly worried about their weapons, but I just think we are the stronger team. We have more playmakers, even with our injuries. But you're right, we cannot allow Bijan Robinson to run the football successfully for more than 4 yards a carry. If you allow that to happen, then you're opening up a can of worms there for Michael Penix to have time in the pocket, to find his receivers, or to dump it off to Kyle Pitts or something like that. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. So there's one thing, Max, that Washington has going for them in the battle of rookie quarterbacks, right? I mean, let's be honest. That's why this game was flexed. Because it's Michael Penix against Jaden Daniels. Two quarterbacks drafted in the top 10. And I talked about this week on my show. I actually thought Michael Penix had more momentum going into the draft, right, leading Washington to the college football playoff finals. And Jaden Daniels didn't have the strongest season with LSU as a team. Individually, he was great. That's why he won the Heisman. But as a team, LSU wasn't nearly as good as Washington. And then the draft happened, and Penix to Atlanta. Everyone's losing their mind. Whoa, what is that about? They just paid for Kirk Cousins. Are they going to even play him? Jaden Daniels came in here and is quietly having one of the best rookie seasons of all time. And it started to make some noise when he threw the Hail Mary. And then he got hurt, and he came back from that. And then he had the 5-touchdown game. And all, I'm saying all this to say, Jaden Daniels has played 15 NFL games. Michael Penix has played one. That's what it's going to come down to. Who plays like a rookie? And hopefully Jaden Daniels, who's played so many more games than Michael Penix at this level, will not look like a rookie and will not have rookie mistakes. And our defense can force Michael Penix into having some rookie mistakes. Can our defensive line and Joe Witt Jr., the defense coordinator, come up with some interesting schemes? Maybe you swing around Luvu to the other side, or it's Bobby Wagner up the middle, and just try to confuse Penix and have blitzers from all over the place. Send 5-6 guys every single snap and just confuse him and show him things that he hasn't seen because he doesn't have the experience that Jaden Daniels does. I think that's it. Look, they might have a better running back than us. Both are named Robinson. It's funny. They've got good weapons at wide receiver. We've got better one in Terry McLaurin. They probably have the better group of wide receivers. It's an interesting matchup at tight end. But I think this game comes down to the quarterback. Who plays like a rookie? Who plays like a rookie? Can Michael Penix step up here for Atlanta on Sunday Night Football and not let the pressure and the bright lights get to him? Jaden Daniels has played in these primetime games before this season. He hasn't looked great in all of them, but most recently, he's playing really good. And I just like the way that Jaden Daniels has kind of let his legs be his biggest weapon again, right? That's why he won the Heisman Trophy. That's why he's going to win Rookie of the Year. He's got good passing numbers, but he's going to win Rookie of the Year because of what he's done with his legs. And it is as simple as when Jaden can take off and run successfully and pick up third downs with his legs, we win games. And I know that I had somebody tell me this stat a few weeks ago, and I'm looking at it right now. When Jaden Daniels has ran for 34 or more yards, the Commanders are, I believe, 10-2 on the season when he ran for 34 or more yards. Three-game win streak. What does he add? 34 yards against the Titans, 66 against the Saints, 81 against the Eagles. What about the losing streak? Yeah, he couldn't do anything in that losing streak. 18 yards against Philly, just 5 against Pittsburgh. The loss against Dallas, he was able to take off. But throughout this season, we have won games when he goes off for more than 35 yards on the ground. And it's all about timely runs, too. Like the 4th-and-5, the 4th-and-11, the 4th-and-1 against the Saints, where he jumped over the line of scrimmage. He doesn't need to take off too much, right? I mean, we definitely don't want him to have 16 carries again like he did against Tampa Bay. That was the only time he's gone for more than 15 runs. His number's been around 8 to 10, and that's a good number for a quarterback. It's just doing what you need to do to move the chains. It's as simple as that sometimes. If it's 3rd-and-3 and nobody's open, run around the outside. And he's just got this speed that is awesome to watch because it feels like he's not running full speed, but he's just got a confidence in his speed where he knows he can beat a guy to the edge. He can beat a guy to the corner and turn it upfield. He knows he's going to get past two linebackers on 4th-and-11, untouched basically for 30 yards. Jaden's legs are his biggest weapon, and he needs to use them again on Sunday Night Football. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. We are live in Richmond on 910 The Fan and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We've been taking your phone calls about the Commanders against the Atlanta Falcons. It's simple. A win and you're in. A win and you're in. And it could be our first postseason berth since 2020. We're already having our best season since 2016. First time we finished with a winning record since 2016. And could get to 11 wins for the first time since 1991 with a win on Sunday Night Football. Let's go out to the phone lines here. Let's go to Drew in Graysonville. What's up, Drew? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for taking my call. I think the game plan tomorrow should be pretty straightforward. Go and get up early on these guys, right? Give the, if we win the coin toss, take the ball, try to get 7-14 points. That takes them right out of their run game plans, makes them throw, and then stay aggressive. The second piece, stay aggressive the whole game. You can't do what we did against Chicago or New Orleans and let a team back in it and hope at the end. So I'm hoping this game looks a lot more like Cleveland or Carolina, you know, or the Titans game, where we just crushed them and then stayed on them.
Yeah.
And but I think we get up early, that rookie's going to have a long, hard day.
Yeah, I'm with you, Drew. Let me ask you a question, though, all right? Because I'm with you, and I do think the only reason we beat the Eagles is because we played aggressive. We played to win the entire game. That includes missing it on fourth down on the first drive, right? I mean, we just kept going for it on fourth down. We played to win. Well, how do we deal with getting punched in the mouth if that happens again against Atlanta and the first drive ends in a turnover or something and it's going the other way and all of a sudden Atlanta's up 7-0 and they can run the football?
Yeah, well, the good news with this team is we've seen it. We're resilient, right? So if we get down, we got to keep doing what we do. You know, the thing that I like about Jaden Daniels is in the big moments, he gets better. And I think that's, you know, I think that's our backup plan, but that should be plan B, not plan A.
Yeah. No, good point, man. I appreciate you chiming in. Let's go to John in Newburgh, line 3. Okay. John, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
How you doing, AWOD? I just want to bring up one thing. A little while ago, you kept telling your listening audience that we need to go 3 out of 4. Do you remember that?
Win 3 out of the next 4 games?
Yeah. Remember you were saying that?
Yeah.
Okay, I think at this point, I think we need to go 2 out of 2.
Okay, why is that?
I think after we beat the Falcons, we need to go down there and smash the Cowboys.
Yeah.
We need to go down there and beat them like the Lions did. And I was just I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Look, I think that this is such a week-by-week league. You can't look at that Cowboys game. We got to take care of business against Atlanta. But it would make me so happy to go to Dallas and stomp on the Cowboys and have them fire their coach. And Jerry Jones has to do embarrassing interviews after a 50-0, you know, 50-burger against Dallas. And when Dallas loses, it makes my weekend. So you're absolutely right about that, John. I want to go to Dallas and whoop up on the Cowboys. But I want to be a playoff team. That's more of a slap in the face to Jerry Jones and Dallas. In the year they went all in, and the year that we stole their defense coordinator in Dan Quinn and we're rebuilding, recalibrating, we get into the postseason. That's more of a slap to the face. So let's beat Atlanta.
I agree with you, too. Also, Adam, I missed the beginning of your show, but will you be able to go behind enemy lines today?
You know, we haven't been able to go behind enemy lines today, but we did have a caller named Chris, who's a Falcons fan, who broke down the Falcons pretty well. So if you rewind on the Odyssey app, you can hear that. Mo is tweeting me, though. Max, do you see this? Mo's tweeting me that Chris, the Falcons fan, has been calling into radio shows all around the DMV this week, trying to convince himself that the Falcons are going to win.
Going on a press tour. I love
it. Yeah, he's going on a press tour.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, man. Appreciate you chiming in. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio. 12th Man tweets me, AWOD, it's a game to potentially earn a playoff spot, all right, and take a possible shot at the number 6 seed. What's not to love? Too bad Lattimore had a hamstring setback. Hope it's not season-ending. Need everybody else to step up with Lattimore, Eckler, Noah Brown, De'Ami Brown, Wiley Owens, and McGee all out. Yeah, that is the tough one here. It does feel like it's crazy the amount of injuries that have piled up recently for Washington. But I think they should be able to battle through that because, like I said here, all right, now K.J. Osborne's the one guy we haven't talked about. Max, I knew you're fired up to see KJ Osborne in the game Sunday. But if he doesn't get involved, like I've said earlier, I trust this coaching staff. All right? They've done nothing to make me not trust them. That's Adam Peters to Dan Quinn Cliff Kingsbury, Joe Witt Jr., but specifically Cliff Kingsbury, he had a plan coming into this season. And I was there at training camp. And it was Terry McLaurin, Olamide Zaccheaus, and Luke McCaffrey. We've had a lot of injuries. Last time I checked, those three are still available. So they still have a plan. Tony tweets me, AWOD, Joe Witt Jr. needs to be relentless in bringing pressure. But that pressure, Penix never knows where it's coming from. Completely confused, the young man. AWOD, Brian tweets me, AWOD, what are the chances Sane Ristel gets Defensive Rookie of the Year? He's absolutely balling out every week. There's too many other impactful defensive players, I think. He's been great. I love him. I do think that he's still getting burnt once or twice every single game on some of these deeper balls, but he's making so many hits, he's making up for it. I mean, the guy's just a tackling machine. It's so much fun. Let's go out to line two. Love when we get a call from Toothpick in Fort Worth. What's going on, Toothpick?
What's up, A-Rod? Thanks for taking my call. You still owe me a spot on the podcast, A-Rod. but we'll work that part out later. Listen, what we really have to do is jump out on these guys, and then you gotta let this defense go hut. I mean, the way that we got after Saquon Barkley last week is the same way we got to get after Bijan Robinson and their backup too, their backup running back. We gotta let them know that it's not gonna be a 100-yard day, a 200-yard day on the ground. So the defensive line has got to come to work, and our offensive line has got to come to work as well. Put the game into the hands of the rookie quarterback, and then our DB's got to make plays. Benjamin St. Juice cannot get too handsy. So please, please, somebody slip that dude some mittens so that he can't put his fingers around people. And because you know they're going to target him on third and long and third or wherever. It's an automatic PI, but yeah, we gotta get that dude some mittens, some hand warmers, and everything else so he doesn't grab wide receivers.
I'm with you, man. It's so frustrating seeing him do that every single week.
Every week. Thanks, yeah. AWOD.
Yep, appreciate you chiming in, Toothpick. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Let's go to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's up, man?
Hey, man. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Hey, at least you got Farrell and Dante have been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
I like the wide receivers and running backs better than ours, but I think Jay is going to carry the load. He's going to win it for him. He's got a great arm, good eyes, good vision. I like his running with the ball, his RPOs, would be called. But I'd rather him be throwing the ball. I wish our running game would really help out, though. Yeah, running games, we have good running backs, but, you know, injuries and all. Kind of disappointing here, but we'll get a win and win the playoffs, believe it or not, right?
Yeah. I mean, Mitch, you mentioned it. Jaden Daniels can be the star, right? He can be the star that can lead us to victory here. I just think it's going to come down to the quarterback battle, and hopefully his experience will help him outduel Michael Penix, who, look, he's an exciting quarterback, and he certainly can be an X factor. We don't have that much tape on him. You know, of course, watched him be a star last year at Washington, and I'm certainly scared of the Michael Penix threat. To be a precision passer and to get rid of the ball quickly, and with his speed, he can avoid some pass rush and get rid of it to Drake London and Darnell Mooney and Ray McCloud and Tyler Algier and Kyle Pitts. They've got a lot of weapons. I just think that Jaden Daniels has been the better quarterback throughout this season. He's got more star power. I think it could come down to Jaden versus Michael Penix, and Jaden makes just enough plays to get Washington the win. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Got a lot to get to still on the show today. We got about an hour left here of AWOD Radio on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We'll go through our keys to victory, pathway to success. I wanted to talk about Jaden's incredible rookie season and how he's doing things that are elite already. But when we return here, DC Sports in the calendar year. DC Sports in the calendar year. It's Saturday, December 28th. It's almost 2025. Well, what was 2024 like? Or 2023? How tough of a year was that for DC Sports fans? What have you seen in the last 365 days that has changed your mind or made you a bigger or lesser DC Sports fans? DC Sports in a calendar year, coming up next on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, available in Richmond on 910 The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. And wanted to do a bit of a year in review here because 2024 has been such an exciting sports year for DC sports fans. And, you know, I've been on the radio here in DC since 2017 when I did my first AWOD's Christmas Miracle. And 2023 might have been the toughest year in the last 20 years for DC sports fans. I mean, think about how rough 2023 was, with the Commanders being in last place, the Nationals being at the bottom, the Wizards being at the bottom, the Capitals, playoffs, but swept. And 2023 was just such a tough year for DC sports fans. And I remember I even did a segment where we talked about this is rock bottom. And we talked about what are even some of the possibilities of getting out of rock bottom? How is it going to even be possible? Can the Commanders actually get a quarterback draft pick right? Can the Nationals bring in their young prospects? Can the Wizards do anything? Capitals, how can they deal with the youth but also keep Ovi around and get him to his record? It just felt like there was no future for DC sports. And then Adam Peters came in. And as we look back at 2024, I do think it's important to start by looking at how awful 2023 was. And Max, I know you wanted to chime in on this, and you jotted down a few things that you'll remember for 2024. But going back to 2023 before this, like, this is how bad rock bottom was.
Oh, yeah.
Ted Leonsis and Glenn Youngkin announced a partnership. That died in 2024. The best thing about the Commanders all of 2023 was Major Tutty paying homage to the Hogs. That was the one great thing about that team the entire season. About Dan Snyder listing his home for sale. Right? That's about as positive as it got for the football team, selling the Commanders. What else is there? There's really nothing. You had WJLA says, well, you had Maryland Cousins become NCAA champions with Angel Reese and UConn's Jordan Hawkins. Meh, okay. Wayne Rooney and DC United parted ways. That was the best story of 2023. Steven Strasburg announced his retirement. I mean, that's how bad it was in 2023 for all four of the major DC sports teams. 2024, it's the Jaden Daniels effect. The Jaden Daniels effect. WTOP has a good article about the Jaden Daniels effect being a resurgent for the Commanders. The number two overall pick has been the story of the year. It's not even close. That's number one, two, three, four, and five. Five will get you 10, right? That was the headline on the Washington Post. Five touchdown passes for Jaden Daniels gets the Commanders 10 wins in December for the first time since 1991. So what are some of the other positive stories from 2024? Well, how about the Capitals' unlikely return to the top of the NHL? I'll be honest with you, Max, that caught me off guard, right? Because I talked about it last year. I was so disappointed to get into the playoffs and then do nothing when they got to the playoffs last year. And it just felt like we had this older roster.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't believe in Coach Carberry.
You fool.
Yeah. I mean, really. That's been an awesome story. Now, the Wizards' rebuild has been painful, but at least they're being honest with you.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing I like. And number two, as bad as the Wizards are, Cooper Flagg and Ace Bailey look so darn good. They look so good.
They do.
I can't wait. I can't wait for them to play for us. I mean, it's going to be so awesome. Then you got to talk about the Nationals and the youth movement getting a boost. And how good was James Wood and C.J. Abrams and Dylan Cruz? And there are some young guys to build around. And now Ethan Holiday, possibly, right?
Yeah.
Brother of Jackson Holiday. I mean, it's just so cool how DC sports have looked up. WTOP closes their article by mentioning RFK. Love to hear that. By mentioning Tony Bennett bowing out of Virginia, Francis Tiafoe's U.S. Open run, and D.C. area swimmers leading the way for the Olympics. What did you want to note here as we look back on a year in review 2024, Max?
It's not really anything specific, but the 2024 kind of feels like, I mentioned it during the break, it feels like a year of new beginnings. And not only does it feel like a year of new beginnings, but it feels like we're closing the book on this past, like, that we've had through, like, the past quarter of a century.
Right. We can finally close the book on Dan Snyder. Yes. Almost everyone is out of the building that worked for him. You know, Josh Harris is bringing in his new guys. We got the stadium deal done.
Yeah.
I mean, how cool was that story last week? That broke, like, Saturday morning at 1:15 a.m.
Yeah, and not even just with the Commanders. Like, the Caps are kind of closing the book on some things. Like, Ovi's kind of aging out. Backstrom's injured, but he'll retire soon. Oshie about to retire because of back stuff. So, it really feels like a promising new beginning for DC sports. I think we're on a really good path here, and let's hope we're on the up and up.
Yeah, and when I look back on 2024 and the year in sports, we should mention how great the Olympics were. I really thought NBC did a great job. Peacock, I kept talking about that show with Kevin Hart and Kenan Thompson. Like, I thought Peacock had a great setup for the Olympics where you could just flip to whatever you wanted to watch, whether that was live or a repeat. And obviously, Bethesda stepped up with Katie Ledecky. But it felt like all of the DMV was represented at the Olympics, right? From the sprinter, Lyles, to Tori Husk, to so many different athletes, all being from, you know, Northern Virginia, D.C., Maryland. That was really cool at the Olympics and certainly should be mentioned in a year of review. And then Tony Bennett. And, you know, I talked about this week because the news broke on December 26th that Jim Larrañaga was stepping down as well. And I think I will remember 2024 as the year that we lost some of the greatest coaches in college sports. When did Saban retire? What was that date? Do you know?
I don't know the date specifically.
Yeah.
I
want to say
it was
like January 2024.
Yeah, I think it was early 2024. That's why.
So Saban's included in that list as well as we've lost at the heart of what college sports is supposed to be. And it's not supposed to be semi-professional. And it's not supposed to be pay-to-play. And it's not supposed to be kids that are 18 years old that haven't even stepped foot on a college campus cashing million-dollar checks from donors because the NIL and transfer portal has ruined college sports. I do think when we're doing a year in review, I will remember 2024 as the year that, you know, college athletics, as we once loved it, died. And in comes a new animal, the college football playoffs, and its inaugural 12-team year. My goodness, was that a dud of a first round? Hopefully that gets better. But in terms of the NFL for this year, I do think this was the return of the running game. And I talked about this on my show. It is really interesting when you look at how many running backs went to new places and had a ton of success, right? Derrick Henry is the obvious one. Goes to Baltimore, had a chip on his shoulder, unbelievable season. All right. How about Joe Mixon? Leaves Cincinnati, goes to Houston, has a great season. Aaron Jones to Josh Jacobs. I mean, the list goes on, Max, of running backs. Even Austin Eckler that went to a new place and found new life there. You know, in a sport where they say running backs die at 29, several of them came back to life on new teams this year. And I think that was a cool story. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Will 2024 be remembered for the biggest ratings dip in NBA history? Where does the NBA go from here? Max, I had this conversation with a few people, and I actually am going to say I liked Matt Valdez. Matt Valdez from the Sports Junkies. I liked his idea of 16 teams in the playoffs, no conferences, just the best 16 teams.
I like that.
I don't know how you change the three-point line situation, though. That's, you know, analytics have taken over all sports, but in the NBA, they're legit passing up layups and dunks for open three-point shots, and it's so frustrating, and that's the reason people don't watch.
Yeah, it feels like a multitude of compounding issues. Like, players don't want to go all out in the regular season.
Yeah, regular season doesn't matter because 20 of the 30 teams get in.
And then the play-in tournaments going on like in the middle of the regular season where there are some nights where there are regular season games and then some nights where there are like NBA Cup games.
Yeah.
It's very confusing to the casual viewer, and that's really who the NBA needs to focus on, and they're not doing that.
Yeah, no. I don't think it was a good idea to bring in Kai Kinette and make it all about streamers because last time I checked, I don't think 16 to 18-year-olds are watching the NBA. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I do think the answer is obvious, though, when you do a calendar, you know, a year in review here for DC Sports. It's Jaden Daniels, that number two overall pick. And we had number two overall picks for the Wizards, for the Nationals, and for the Commanders. But Washington, my goodness, number five, Jaden Daniels. He's the story of the year. He's just been so incredible. I love that he always smiles. And I feel like when he makes a mistake, it's almost like he tells himself, don't worry about it. You'll get another chance. We're just having fun. We're just playing a backyard game here. And he's just got some kind of unbelievable poise for a rookie. And hopefully that can be on full display against Michael Penix, because I do think whatever quarterback plays better, their team is going to win that game. Phone lines are open. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.